I'm just like you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I need more cowbell. I can't do Christopher Walken. Put my pants on one leg at a time. Just like you. Just like you. Like you. That's how you do a good Christopher Walken. You have to go up like that. Like you.
That's your solution for everything. That's what you do for Martin Lloyd Jones.
Yes. Martin Lloyd Jones. I do that for Hellcat Maggie. Hellcat Maggie goes up high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's your thing. You should try going down low.
Low.
Then you'll sound like a DJ.
I put my pants on one leg at a time. Actually, my problem is I don't put my pants on at all. I put my pants on one leg at a time, and then I take them off and go to the Apple store. I don't know what I'm doing.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I'm your co-host, David. And whenever I hear news about boxing, I hear it first as news about putting things in boxes. And sitting across the country from me at a contractually negotiated 824 miles is my co-host, Jim, with potato salad on his lens.
I hate it when that happens. Please accept my apologies, dear listeners, when you see potato salad on my lens. All right.
You know what you can do to fix that is you go to the Mayo Clinic.
See, we're starting off well. All right. We're here. Let's do this thing. We might as well. Happy to have everybody here at the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast.
Ooh, that should be our new motto.
Presiding.
We might as well.
You know, David, just a preview for the folks, the good folks listening to the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast. We're going to be soon concluding the Jim and David on the Run story series. And when that is done, David has agreed to stop complaining about the show. So you're going to hear a completely new marketing message from your good old
really
pals,
good
Jim and David.
Point. I should really talk a lot more about how crappy this show is this episode and next, and then the next one.
Get it all out.
Yeah.
Surprised you have anything left to say in that regard.
Oh, no. It is inexhaustible, Jim.
Inexhaustible, yes. Inexhaustible. Much like the inner strength and beauty of Albert Mohler. Inexhaustible.
Do you know what else is inexhaustible?
What?
Follow-up?
But before we talk about follow-up, let me just this. YouTube search algorithm, not search algorithm, but YouTube's algorithm, when you watch a video, YouTube sometimes puts in the recommends in the future, like videos, similar videos of a similar theme.
Yep.
Or perhaps from the same video producer. Well, I watched a vid on Al Mohler, and I don't really pay much attention to the guy. I mean, I was a Southern Baptist for a short while, or as you would say, while.
And now he's a normal Baptist, or a Northern Baptist.
I appreciated his insights, but never really was much for listening to the guy talk, because he was never really that engaging for me. But I think the reason why is because I just haven't watched the right talk from the guy.
Hmm.
I started watching his Q&As. I believe that he does these Q&As either once a year or frequently. I'm not quite sure, but I think he does a Q&A for seminary students at the Southern Baptist campus down in Louisville, Kentucky. And these Q&As are pretty awesome. He just literally has people come up to the microphones in a large auditorium. They ask him any question, and he just sits there and boom. The guy just kind of he freestyles. He gets a mic, he starts rapping. And the guy is actually pretty brilliant. We all know this. I even think you would admit this, but he's pretty good on his feet. And I just started watching a lot of these Q&A videos, and YouTube's recommend just kept on sending them to me. And I've just been watching this guy over and over and over again. And I'm actually starting to appreciate him a lot more these days. He has good insight on the fly. the most special one was his first Q&A when he started at Southern back in, I believe, 1993. At the time, it was a liberal seminary. And what?
This is literally what the pastor of a sister church, like 45 minutes north of here, was telling me about on Friday evening. He was telling me about the exact video that you're talking about.
But it was in a weird context. Was he just saying how? Was it a negative context?
No, he was saying nice things about Al Mohler.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right. I'll take.
And then we all in unison at the end of this session of saying nice things about Al Mohler.
Vomited
for a Baptist.
The eight Presbyterian men in the audience said this. No, David and the guy who runs Presbyterian memes said this in unison. And then threw up and then left. But no, that video was pretty cool. Just because he was against a room.
He was 32 years old, too.
He was a young fella. Wow.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that was cool. So I've been watching a lot of Al Mohler videos. I don't know why I just said this, but I did.
I know. It had to come before follow-up, too. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I really wasn't following up on anything. I was just kind of randomly talking. But speaking of follow-up, let's go ahead and get into it. I don't have anything, David. I'm sorry about that.
I've got plenty.
Okay, I'm glad you do. So we'll go ahead. Dearest David, give us some follow-up.
Okay. Right now. How in the heck did you know that David Crowder's father, or David Crowder Band's father's name is Daniel? How did you know this?
I didn't. I guessed.
I looked it up on Wikipedia because I was going to like rib you and like correct you and be like, his name's not Daniel. It's actually Al or whatever. But then like I get to the Wikipedia page. I'm like, why did he know this?
Usually when I am right, it's by accident. So I'll take it, I guess. That's good to know. I was just playing around.
Next up, I wanted to point out that the noise on the cover image of last week's episode, the episode artwork, is it's film grain from Adobe Camera Raw. That's what that is.
So that's what is that resembling noise? Is that a representation?
It's better noise. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
There's visual noise.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
It's film grain.
I never knew that was such a thing. Okay, well, it is better than the previous noise of whatever it was.
Next up, Greg Daniels actually was the co-creator of Parks and Rec, and he wrote 16 episodes. So sorry about that.
I had a feeling. Is he only he wrote 16? Was he a showrunner the whole time, or was he just a creator?
No, I think he was instrumental early on in the creation, and then throughout like the first five seasons, he directed a total of 16 episodes. So.
Oh,
and I think he directed like one or two.
Okay. I'm assuming he directed many more of Office episodes. Would that be a correct statement?
You know, I think
it was kind of his baby.
He did direct. More of a producer? I don't know how many he directed, but he was very hands on in like everything. And even when he wasn't like the writer or the director, he was still like pretty hands on. And
sure. Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
There's actually a story of, I think, Ryan, why can't I remember the actor's name? BJ Novak wrote a script, and I think it was Greg Daniels who reviewed it and said, what are all of these jokes? Like, because he had put jokes in The Office, and he's like, The Office doesn't have jokes. Like, that's not how it works.
What do you mean they don't have jokes?
Well, like, you know how, like, in a classic sitcom, people will, like, say things that are supposed to be intentionally funny, and there's, like, a laugh track, and everybody, ah! Yeah. Like, The Office was not that. The Office was, like, life, and life was funny.
I see. I mean, there were some, like, usually during the interview segments. I believe that those were, like, you know, on-purpose written jokes.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the delivery was different? The delivery was more unique.
Well, they weren't, like, you know, Creed. They weren't jokes in the classic sense, because the character was 100% serious about them.
Okay. I'm wondering if what you mean is, like, during the regular the show, the goings on of the show, it was just more situational.
Yes.
Comedy.
Yes.
And some of it was visual. A lot of the jokes were Jim just looking at the camera. Strange.
Exactly.
And he was. Yeah,
exactly. Which is a different, like, I mean, we tend to think that like, oh, yeah, that's just like a different kind of show. But like The Office was one of the first shows to be like this, to do this and to where you could watch an entire episode and no single character would say any line that was intentionally funny, like the character was trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm. You're right. No one was really trying to be funny in that.
Occasionally, like Michael's trying to be funny and it fails, and it's funny that it's failing.
It's funny.
And occasionally, like Jim will say something that's actually funny and it's supposed to be funny. Yeah. But in general, The Office did not have a lot of jokes.
Well, I keep thinking of Creed, and Dwight had a lot of these lines where Creed would just say something just so strange. Like he would say, I've been in a number of cults, both as a leader and a follower. That seems like a written joke, but I think I get your point.
Well, it is something like if you met somebody like Creed, A, it's possible to meet somebody like Creed, and B, it's possible for him to say that and be 100% serious.
It would be impossible to know for sure. I'm not going to finish or explain the context of what Creed was saying when he said that particular line. Okay, anyways, moving on.
Do you have more?
No, I don't. Oh. I don't have anything.
You were like, moving on.
I'm adding color.
Okay. Next up, the peninsula to the left of Seattle, or the west, as Jim would say, is the Olympic Peninsula.
Or the west, as Jim would say. Oh, that is the Olympic Peninsula. Oh, yeah, you're right.
We couldn't remember the name of it. Also, next up is fractions are hard. At one point, I tried to divide a 1/100th of a second into 10 1/10ths of a second, which you can't do because a 10th of a second is 10 1/100ths of a second. What I meant to say was 1/1000th of a second. So 1/100th of a second and then divided into 1/1000th of a second, and fractions are hard.
Pop quiz, hotshot. How long has that been bothering you? No, let me rephrase. What is the extent of the botheringness of that thought?
I wrote it down and I was happy because I knew I was going to address it, but it has been something that I've needed to address since Saturday when I heard the episode.
Okay. So the satisfaction of you acknowledging this far exceeds the frustration that you may have or may not have felt.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's still weird, but I like it.
Yeah. It's like much you. When you have to sneeze, you're like, oh, this is unpleasant. And then you sneeze and you're like,
see, that's the difference between you and me. When you say something weird, you agonize and wait for the opportunity to correct it, and then you are fulfilled and you feel good. When I say something wrong, I go home and sleep like a baby.
You know, babies don't really sleep that well.
And I wake up and I go do all that over again without a care for anyone or anything. David. Anyways, moving on.
Spokane, the Spokane Riverfront Mall is on West Main Avenue. I was pretty
not
much
technically
correct.
On Division then.
No, it's you're thinking of Northtown. I'm thinking of Riverfront.
Oh, Riverfront. Right. Yeah. Right. I thought we were talking about. Don't be so noisy, Jack. Okay. All right. The microphone picks up everything that boy does.
If you talked louder, it wouldn't.
If I talked louder, it wouldn't.
Yep.
Well, why don't you just? Yeah. Your mom should talk louder.
We really got it going tonight.
Okay, yeah. Jim's really on fire. The insults are quite biting.
Lastly, Jim, I have loss.
What kind of lost update? Have you finished
the series? We have finished the series, yes.
Right. I am so excited, but I feel so warm inside that there was a time in which you wrote off that show.
There was.
At the time, I didn't understand why. I now know. So I forgive you of those sins. But I am so happy that we are here now talking about a show that you have watched the entirety of.
Yeah.
So tell me thoughts on the last season and then on the race. So you saw the episode between about concerning Jacob and his brother.
Yes.
What'd you think about that episode? It's one of my favorite episodes.
Yes, that was definitely a really good episode. It explained a lot, finally. Yeah.
Cool.
It was a critical episode for the whole rest of the, like, I mean, it you
it's
can't.
It's a critical episode for the whole show.
Exactly. Yeah. There's obviously a ton left unexplained about, like, who their mom was and, like,
where she came from.
Exactly. And it's weird that she just, like, kills this woman and takes her children. Like, that, dubious at best.
Pretty bad.
She did it to like save the world, right? Like that's the, because she needed people to take her place when it was anyway. It was really interesting in that episode how it became clear to me anyway. I thought it was clear that the reason she loved, we'll just call him the man in black. The reason she loved the man in black differently than Jacob was
You're
because
talking about their mother, right? Their adopted mother.
Yes. Was because like Jacob was going to replace her but the man in black was going to kill her. Like, she knew that that was going to happen, and she loved him for it because she wanted out. She wanted it to end. She wanted to be done.
Interesting take, David. I haven't interpreted it that way, but I think that makes sense. Yeah. I love an episode that is so pivotal. It really changes how you view an entire series. That's not just the reason why I like that episode, but it was just really pivotal. And I like the actors, especially the guy who plays the man in black. I just think he was just bloody fantastic.
Yeah.
And Jacob, you know, he's no real saint. He's not the polar opposite of the man in black. At least that's my opinion. His motive was, you know, I just don't think he's the saint or the angel or the messiah that one might think he would be in a show like this.
Right.
The benevolent force versus the evil force, because we were set up to think that way because of, you know, the Locke early on highlighted the backgammon, two sides, evil and good, light and dark. And that was meant to foreshadow the man in black and Jacob, and it just turned out to not really be that way. But nevertheless, I thought it was great. I like how Locke really just ended the show playing just a really cool villain, and I really love how that worked out too. Just a great all around presentation. So let's talk about the last episode.
Well, hold on. I also just want to say, I think I understand better now why everybody really likes, what's his name? Hello, brother. What's his face?
Desmond.
Desmond.
Yeah. Desmond really comes back in this last season.
Yeah, he really does.
Pivotal force.
He runs over John Locke in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yes, he does. And when, that's not explained at first when you see that. It's like, okay, just Desmond.
Exactly.
why did he do that?
Yeah.
But now we know. So you know now why the flashbacks in season 6 were really what they call flash sideways.
Yeah, or flash outs, as we would call them.
It was like a, what do you call it? I'm not going to say a purgatory, but it was a transitionary place before these people went on to the next step, the afterlife. Yeah. And I have never really been too fond of that device. They're meaningless. They're almost to the point of meaninglessness, especially the early ones. As Desmond starts to, you see his role as like a guide, and you start, these people start to realize what's happening, then it starts to kind of have some meaning. But I thought there were a lot of wasted moments with that gimmick. And I was wondering if you felt the same way. Did you enjoy it? Did you not like it? Was it annoying?
I think I liked, it's hard to talk about this without actually talking about what happens in the last episode. And by the way, obvious.
I want to further discussion.
But to answer the question about the earlier ones, in the moment I enjoyed them because I had an idea of what I thought was happening, and it doesn't bother me that they did they pulled the old switcheroo there.
I guess I was with you. When I was watching them, I was okay with it because it was interesting.
Right.
But when I found out the true meaning of those moments, I just felt felt cheap to me.
Yeah, I can see how you would say that. And that brings me to the important thing here is at the end of the series, again, at the end, like the last episode, it's revealed that this thing that you thought was a parallel timeline that they've been flashing sideways to is actually all of them are dead. Some of them died of old age. Some of them died on the island. Some of them died, you know, of diabetes, whatever.
Various points.
And I'm talking about Hugo, of course. And that this is like some sort of an afterlife situation, and they're all supposed to find each other so that they can go into the next life together, because I think it's Jack's dad who explains that the things that happened to you guys on the island were the most important things that happened to you in your life. And so I don't know what it felt kind of Deus Ex Machina.
Christian Shepherd or the church?
I mean, when you find out that this is not a parallel timeline, this is actually I get that earlier in the show, they had established that dead people can come back and talk and they talk to Hugo and to some degree Niles, although I don't know, maybe they don't like Asians because they don't really talk to him as much.
It's kind of a weird. It's kind of a
Asian
weird thing.
Hate that, like, has been increasing.
He has this power, but Hugo is just like, I don't know. It's like
Hugo's a lot more nice, so they want to talk to him.
That does. Everybody loves Hugo.
That's right.
So no, I found it that there was something about it that was oddly unsatisfying because it. So when you write stories, it's like if you build a whole bunch of tension and then you resolve it by doing something that you never even hinted or indicated could be a solution. It's like if you watch a murder mystery and you're like, oh, is it this guy or the maid? And then you find out that it's this other character that hasn't even been introduced to you. And you're like, well, this was stupid. Like, how was I supposed to know that? Like, I was in this to, like, I didn't want to figure it out. Like, I wanted to figure it out at the right moment. And Lost, throughout it, the whole series is really good at that. They're really good at, like, there's a way of making people feel like they're figuring the thing out just as it's transpiring in front of them. Just as the solution or just as the answer or the new information is being revealed, you're thinking, oh my gosh, what if it is? Like, you having both of those moments at once. You're seeing it and realizing it at the same time. And they're really good at that. And then at the end, when they do the, oh, actually, this whole timeline, everybody's dead thing. It's like, that doesn't seem fair. I could have never figured that out. Like, in a million years.
So maybe you and I are more aligned on that just for different reasons. Because I don't exactly know, like, the percentage, but, like, either a small vocal minority or a sizable portion of the Lost fan base had some issues with that, specifically that reveal.
Right.
In the last episode. I mean, they had their issues with the flash sideways, but season 6 on Island has some pretty amazing moments. I mean, it's really cool.
That's the thing is, like, if you completely ignore that entire timeline, which you actually just can, like, you can completely ignore that timeline, then, like, the whole series is just freaking amazing. Like,
yeah. When I last watched it through, I watched it on Hulu, and
we did too.
I just fast forwarded through the flash sideways in season 6. Because I just wanted to get to the island stuff. I mean, some of the flash sideways towards the end were kind of cool to me, but
yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people had issues with that reveal in the finale, and it kind of spoiled that, not just the season but the show for some people. I think over time people have gotten over it. At the time, I liked it. I didn't feel like it was too abrupt, that reveal at the end, because, you know, I liked all the characters, and you kind of want them to be together in some respect, because they have forged this bond, however shaky it could have been at times, but nevertheless, they're important to each other.
Right.
And you want your characters to have some sort of resolution. And they had that. They moved on in relative peace. And there was some good closure to that. I like how Jack kind of redeemed himself a little bit. His character went through, I mean, he was the hero for, I think, 3 seasons. And then started to really descend and became a character that wasn't as likable as he used to be. And he regained a little bit of that hero status that we kind of all liked in season 1 and season 2, but especially season 1. And it was cool to kind of see him close the show just like he opened it. I liked that effect. That wasn't cheesy. And even though it has the capacity to be cheesy, it wasn't cheesy to me. Even Vincent was there. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, you know, Jim, all dogs go to heaven.
They do.
Yeah, even I feel like heaven. I feel like if they had leaned a little further into, if they had just given a peek at, like, this idea that dead people are still around more often than just, oh, sometimes they talk to Hugo. Like, felt like
it was limited, very limited.
Right. And I'm not saying that you can do things, I think, in storytelling where you, like, indicate that, like, there's a lot more going on in this corner of the story than you're aware of. Like, and I don't feel like they did that. They kind of just borrowed.
You wanted more foreshadowing and more hints at this special quality.
Or that something like that could exist. Not so much that it exists, but, like, this notion, like, here's an example is, if Hugo had talked with somebody who was dead, who told him that they heard from another dead person something. So, like, now all of a sudden we know that dead people can communicate with each other when they're dead. Yeah. Like, that would have, like, indicated that, like, oh, there's kind of a world of dead people out there. That would have been helpful. Cool.
Yeah, that would have created a little bit more intrigue in terms of the specialness of the island. I mean, there was plenty of it. I mean,
sure.
We kind of knew that early on in the show, but it would have added an extra layer of intrigue that would be really cool.
And it would have, when you saw the final reveal, you would have felt like, oh, this is where they were communicating, like something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times the quote unquote dead people were really just the men in black because he had that ability.
Yes.
And they really pushed that quite a bit. So, right. Yeah. I mean, most of the time when you saw someone, it was probably him, with the exception of Michael and Jacob and a couple of others.
Right.
Anyways.
Yep.
Well, good. I'm glad that you felt good about the finale, and it hasn't really spoiled you at all. some fans didn't like it, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good closure. And I love that there were things that were unanswered. They didn't really answer, like, really, what's the origin of the island and why does it have those special qualities that it does? I mean, they hinted that a lot of the things that happened on the island were a result of its special electromagnetic properties. I think they hinted at that quite a bit. A lot of the strange happenings as a result of that. But there was just so much more to that island than just that. And they left a lot of that to the imagination. And I like that.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with how much they didn't tell us. Like, I think that's fine.
I like that.
What I'm looking forward to is a prequel series to Lost, where we find out that, like, all the answers to all the questions that we have, and it's all just a bunch of politics.
What do you mean? Like,
I mean, like, the Star Wars episodes 1-3 explaining all the things.
Hello there. No, wouldn't that be interesting if they did something like that? I suppose you could. There could be a whole really new.
They could have a Jar Jar Binks character.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if the history of the island goes back, you know, as far as the eye can see, there's probably plenty of more stories and more Jacobs to.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to say that I think the ending, I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I need to rewatch the whole series at some point and see how I feel about it then.
It gets better over time. Yeah, I've probably seen the show 10 times through and there's still things that I pick up on. So,
but if you had asked me before the ending, what do you think of Lost relative to J.J. Abrams' larger body of works? I would have put it ahead of anything that I've seen of his. I might have put it as like one of my top like three TV shows, and it still is probably certainly in the top 10, like maybe the top five. I really don't think about these things that much, but I want to say now that the show's Person of Interest and Fringe might actually, because they don't have that ending where you kind of feel like, wait, what? They might actually have, I mean, certainly Fringe, maybe Person of Interest. We're actually going to start rewatching Person of Interest pretty soon. That's another one with Michael Weatherly and J.J. Abrams. But I might put those ahead of Lost now, just because they are, especially for their time too, they are very tightly, the storytelling is just very tight, and you don't have a moment like the season finale of Lost where you're like, I feel like that didn't quite follow or didn't quite connect with me or whatever. So I feel like I
want to disagree, but I've never seen those other shows. So
yeah,
I
mean, you should start with Fringe. Fringe is really, and it's got, you know this, right? It's got, Denethor. And he has a stressful relationship with his son. So what more could you ask for?
What an a-hole. No.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if he has stressful relationships with his son in any other series.
Wouldn't it be great if he did?
There's
some show in the 70s on British television where he sends his son off to war, you know, and he comes back maimed. That would be perfect.
He plays Scarecrow, right?
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
He does. And did Scarecrow burn his son alive?
I know. he would have a hard time with all that straw. Jonathan Crane is the son. Hold on. Oh, the Scarecrow. Okay. Family. Yeah, he has a father and a mother, but oddly, nobody thought to marry the Scarecrow or have kids with him.
Who would have thought? Well, hey, pretty cool. Cool thoughts. Were there any characters that you felt just that you changed your mind about? Did you dislike some of the resolutions? Like we just talked about Desmond. He came back with the Fury and had a cool arc. Jack, we talked a little bit about Jack. Is there anybody else that you felt like maybe, oh, they just kind of fell off the... Obviously, Claire, they didn't really do much with her.
Yeah,
she didn't show up at the end, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that she went home to be with her son. Like, I know she was going crazy, but, like, you know, there are pills for that. And I was glad that John Locke got to walk in the afterlife. That was nice.
Yeah.
No, I think I was genuinely satisfied with pretty much all of the resolutions, even on the island. Like, it almost feels like the resolution of, like, oh, they're all dead and they're going to be together forever. It almost feels like Lost was not supposed to have that. And the network came in and was like, no, you can't have this, like, tragic ending where, like, 2/3 of the characters are dead at the end of the show. Like, they need to all be like that resolution, like that needs to be there. And so they had to write that in. It almost feels like that. I don't want to accuse anybody of that having happened, but that's how it kind of feels.
It would have been rough if there wasn't that resolution, you know, to have Sun and Jin go, Saeed goes, can't remember who else, but
oh yeah, it would have been rough, but it would have been like, that would have been a good story. Like, it wouldn't, you know.
Yeah. It's gutsy story, but but yeah, maybe that, I don't know, maybe that would have been more impactful, because it's a criticism I have of movies and TV in general. I don't know if it's been a problem for a long time, but it's at least been a problem lately, where people are not willing, they don't have the guts to kill off characters.
Yep.
And as a result, I think they lose their value, because they never go. They're never gone. Mm. And without loss, how can you really value life? Or value the friendships and the connections that you have.
We should kill off Jim and David.
Yes. So finally. Well, one of these days, David, you know, the show is going to end someday. And I guess we'll what are you talking about? I guess we'll find out how much people appreciate us when we stop the show and no one notices. Well, all right.
Do you want to...
People might...
I think we're ready to dive into the meat of the show, as you would say.
Well, goodbye, Lost discussion. It's been great, David, talking about this with you. I'm very happy, and such a cool thing.
Jim, if you're happy, good.
Good. If you're happy, Jim, then that's an emotion you have.
You are free to feel that way.
You are free. Let's go ahead and get rid of that. Okay, folks, so let's get into it. We have a continuing episode, a continuing entry. Another tale in the ongoing saga of Jim and David on the run. This is going to be our fourth episode.
Indeed.
I don't know what it's going to be titled. That'll be David's job after we're done recording. Unless you do have a title for it. I don't know. It's just episode four.
I was going to call it Time and Time Again.
Okay. Episode four, Time and Time Again of Jim and David on the bump. Jim and David on the run.
Please don't say that again.
And I feel like I need to mention that this is written by David, not me. That might have been hurtful to David, but I said it because David cannot be hurt, really. So there are advantages to being his friend. It's very difficult to offend him, only if you refuse to hose down your children. Then he gets those are fighting words.
Well, because they
those
smell bad.
Yes. Jim, please. Anyways, let's go ahead and roll this.
All right. Jim, there's something I still don't understand. Why are we going to the Wayback Machine? You told me we can't change the past, and I've been watching Lost, as you know.
It's true, okay? We can't. Whatever happened, happened. Whatever happens to you has been waiting to happen since the beginning of time.
But then, why are we trying to change the past? This honestly seems like a pretty obvious plot hole.
Well, you can't change the past except when someone has already changed it. Bill already went back into the past and changed the timeline. Therefore, we can change the already altered timeline, huh? And all we're really trying to do is change it back to the way it was.
But how is it changed initially if the past can't be changed?
What do you want from me? All right, you're writing the script.
Jim, I really wish you would stop breaking through the fourth wall. You know my wife hates it when we do that. You wouldn't want to see her when she gets angry. And by the way, you've heavily altered the script through rewrites, so you can't put this on me.
Fair enough. And tell the She-Hulk to relax.
Sarah, I didn't write that line. I think I get it. We're going back to set the past straight, and we will necessarily be successful because the timeline can only be changed temporarily, just until someone, like us, sets it back right. In that way, the past is never truly changed.
Wow, that's great. Where did you come up with that?
Please don't make me say it.
But I really want to know.
Fine, it was the script. Sorry, Sarah.
See, it's not my fault. Anyway, this is great news. We can't fail. This is like the Romans 8 of time travel.
Yeah, unless you're wrong about your theory that timelines can't be changed, or unless we fail and die, but then somebody else fixes the timeline.
Like who? Who would do that?
I don't know, maybe Martin Lloyd-Jones?
Speaking of me in imminent peril, it's time for you boys to get off the plane.
Wait, we're still in the air, and who's flying the plane now?
As I said, imminent peril. Now, put these on.
You're insane! Why can't we just land at Spokane Airport like normal people?
You forget. You two are fugitives. If you land there, you're sure to be caught. You can't even afford a normal parachute drop. You'll need to do a halo jump. I used to play that game. I call dibs on the sword.
No, he means high altitude, low open. We're gonna jump out from really high up and then open our chutes at the last possible second so fewer people notice us.
Exactly. Now it's time for you two to get out. If you wait much longer, you'll be landing in the Washington State Desert.
I'm still really uncomfortable with...
Yes! I'm not
ready! Please stay tuned for a word from our sponsors.
Hi, my name is Kurt Miller, head pastor of Grace Life Journey Community Church in Broken Whistle, Montana, just 5 blocks away from Chick-fil-A. We are a non-denominational, Bible-believing church plant, and we're here for you. Or rather, we will be. We want you to know that we'll be launching our first Sunday service in just 3 months. So we may not be here for you now, but we want you to know we're coming. What can you expect if you decide to visit with us? Well, for one thing, you don't even have to. 100% of our services will be streamed. So if you're afraid of catching the virus, you can worship from home and even tithe from home. Anyway, you can also expect one of the best bands you've ever heard. Our worship pastor is none other than the 9-time Dove Award-winning lead singer, songwriter, and guitarist for the worship band Shalom, Greg Hudson. You can also expect the preaching to be excellent. I don't mean to drop names, but I went to college with Matt Chandler. I sure learned a lot from him. Anyway, we're eager to help you help Jesus help you. If you'd like more information, you can go to the LifeGraceCommunityJourney.com. That's LifeGraceCommunityJourney.com. There you can subscribe to our newsletter or follow us on Instagram, YouTube, MySpace, Snapchat, and TikTok, and Utah. And Ratchet. And Racket. And Ransack.
We now return to our regularly scheduled flogging.
Hey! David!
What?
We've been falling for a really long time. How do we know when to open our chutes?
How should I know? The RPCNA doesn't train us for this! Only land warfare!
Oh, fine. You know, I've shot a lot of aliens, but they've never trained me to jump out of an airplane.
Jim, Halo has nothing to do with high altitude, low open. It's the name of the ring-shaped artificial world in which the game is set. Didn't you play the single-player campaign at all?
Oh, huh. Well, not really. I just mostly played Capture the Flag and Blood Gulch.
Me too! I only started playing the campaign recently with Sarah on the Steam version where you can play co-op.
Shut up, you two. It's almost time for you to open your chutes. Enough about Microsoft.
Actually, it was produced by Bungie before they were acquired by Microsoft.
Shut up! Dr. Jones, we're ready!
All right, I'll count down. 47, 46, 45, 44, 43, 42, 41, 40, 39, 38...
Why did he start so high? This is honestly kind of irritating.
Would you shush? I'm trying to... I don't want to miss it. Quiet.
32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 46, 45, 44, 43, 42,
where did we even get these walkie-talkies?
Would you shut up?
18, 17, 16, 15, wall. Are you all right?
David, are you okay? Stay with me, David. I can't lose you as a co-host. I don't even know the login information for our site. You're going to make it. Don't you die on me now. Not on my watch, you don't. Hang on, man. Should I do CPR? The Heimlich? The Stockholm?
I'm okay. One of the branches just hit my funny bone really bad.
What? I thought you had been, like, impaled or broken your femur. You just hit your funny bone.
Yeah, well, it felt really weird. It kind of hurt, honestly.
He has a point. I've heard some dreadful stories from the war.
Okay, look, let's just go inside. We don't know who saw us land.
Yeah, let's go. I'm good to go now. Should we repack our chutes?
Do you know how to?
No.
Well, there you be.
All right, gentlemen. I wish you well. I'm off to take care of more important matters.
What could be more important than this, Martin?
Well, I'm headed out to bolt some pulpits to the floor at churches that are considering a dance ministry.
He's right. That's definitely more important than this.
Fine. Here, get inside. Bye, Doctor.
Godspeed.
All right, the living room looks clear. Don't forget to check your corners as we enter the kitchen.
Right. I'll go in first and slice the pie. All right, everything looks all right in here. You want to take the basement?
Yeah, I got this. It looks clear, Jim. Where are you?
Hold on.
Hold on? Fine, I'll just continue without you. All right, everything looks good down here, Jim. Are you coming anytime soon?
Okay, I'm coming.
What took you so long?
I told you I was going to slice the pie.
What? I thought you were talking about a tactical procedure.
Well, no, we don't even have guns. I was talking about pecan. You want some?
Yeah, all right, I'm pretty hungry. We can eat while we get the Wayback Machine up and running. Is it all fueled up?
Oh, good reminder. Can you hand me that bottle?
The gay goose bottle over here?
Yeah, I gotta refuel.
Jim, I think it's time for you to admit you have a problem.
No, not for me, for the Wayback Machine.
Oh. You must be using the bottle to hold the fuel. Very MacGyver of you.
No. The Wayback Machine runs on gay goose vodka. It's the only thing I could find powerful enough to generate the required wattage for the flux motivator.
Wow. I always knew it was powerful stuff.
Yeah. It won't cure what ails you, but by the end of the glass, you won't care.
I hear that. All right, are we ready to go?
Hold on, one more bite. We're good to go. All right, where to? Or should I say, when to?
Oh, I can't believe I hadn't thought of that. We need to go back far enough to make sure Bill's plan doesn't succeed.
Okay, well, how about when to Bill was born? We can just smother him in the cradle.
Jim, that's horrifying.
Well, it's not the worst thing I've done.
I'll just strategically ignore that. Besides, the bigger a change we make, and the further we go back, the more likely it is that we'll inadvertently make changes that we don't intend. You and I might never meet, or worse, we might never meet our wives.
All right, fine. I guess that's a good reason. It's just that he's so annoying.
Ideally, we'll make as small a change as possible. Something surgical. Precise.
How about if we go back and try to prevent me from saying perspicuity wrong?
That's actually brilliant. I really feel like that's where the show got off on the wrong foot.
Great. That's episode 4. We released it on Friday, April 27th, 2018. And I distinctly remember recording it the previous Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Why on earth do you remember that?
David, it was a dark day. How could I ever forget it?
Fair enough. All right. Let me get out of the way of this massive serrated blade, and then let's go back in time.
Here we go. All right, it should be 5:15 p.m. on April 24th, 2018. We didn't talk about perspicuity until the after show, so we should have plenty of time to get over there and stop me from saying something really stupid.
Jim, I thought you were at David's house recording. And why is David here?
Christy, I missed you so much. Let me hug you.
Okay. But you just left like 20 minutes ago. And why is David here?
Oh, yeah. We forgot my fidget spinner. Wait, we don't have those yet. I mean, I forgot to use the bathroom. And David is really picky about me using theirs. Right, David?
Yeah, so picky. The thought of your naked rear end sitting where my naked rear end also sits is just repugnant to nature and reason.
Well, that's harsh.
But, why is David here?
Well, he also had to use the bathroom, and he's really picky about where he uses the bathroom as well.
What?
Yeah, it's an autism thing. No, that hasn't come up yet. It's a Presbyterian thing, I guess.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Anyway, I'm feeling so much better now, and I'm sure Jim is as well, having recently voided his bowels. Let's get back to my house so that we can continue recording our new podcast.
Yes, let's shall. Honey, I love you more than a fat kid loves the soda that is clinically proven to cause his obesity. More than that.
Oh, all right. I love you too, Jim.
Just know that what I do it for you.
Thanks, Brian Adams. Does that mean you can start actually putting your clothes in the hamper?
Yes, dear. That and so much more. So much more.
Come on, Jim. We don't want to make the string any weirder than it already is.
What?
Bye, Christy.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
What was that about the string getting weird?
You were getting really weird in there, and the string is a metaphor for the timeline. I didn't want things to get weird if we talked about timelines.
Oh, yeah. String was much better. Look, I haven't seen my family since they were kidnapped. You'll forgive me if I get a little sentimental.
A little sentimental? You made William Shatner look like Patrick Stewart.
Would you be quiet? You know, I only make right turns, and the place you chose to live in relation to my house makes the drive there extremely tedious.
All right, we're here. I don't have the keys to my old place, but thankfully, I do have a lockpicking kit from that ad a few episodes ago. It really pays to be an influencer sometimes. Gary and his people didn't even find it in my sock when they searched because it's not metallic. And I insisted on not taking off my socks during the search because I don't like exposing my leg hair to the open air.
Right. Just get us in.
I'm on it. Watch out for the dog poop on the sidewalk. That's one of the main reasons we chose to move out of these townhomes.
Ugh. Wow, that was fast.
I didn't do it. Somebody open it from the inside.
Jim and David, I've been expecting you.
What? How are you here? Jim hasn't even written your ad yet.
I got here the same way you did. I, too, am from the future. I'm here to stop you from ruining my fiendish plan. You see, I suspected you would come to this pivotal moment, and so I got here first to keep you from getting upstairs. You see, I've been manipulating the timeline for some time now. While you were sleeping, I piped audio into your room for the purposes of subliminal messaging. It included moronic phrases like, I will say this, as well as mispronounced theological terms. The record player even got stuck one night and just kept playing the words number 9 over and over again. I should have known not to use the same recording since something similar had happened when I attempted to enact revenge on the Beatles' John Lennon. No matter. I was obviously wildly successful because of your clear desperation. You should know that I am unwilling to move, and there is no chance that you are going to get upstairs to thwart my evil plan.
Listen here, you. I've got 5 reasons why you're going to get out of my way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And for listeners at home, I just made a fist. Hi-ya!
I am afraid you'll find I am impervious to your attacks as well as most conventional weaponry.
He's right. It's like punching a wall made of jello. Ugh.
What are we going to do?
I know. Use your slight frame and natural agility to get past him. He's big and cannot move fast.
All right. Nope. Well, how about...
Juke! Jump! Spin!
Aha! Spin move! Nope, didn't work. Oh, it's like trying to play hockey, but the goalie is just a mass of lard that covers the whole net, and he's really sweaty!
Fine, look, it's too late already. I just heard myself say it wrong the third time. Let's just go. We can regroup and think of a better plan.
All right, let's go.
Hey, Jim. Good to see you again.
Stop smothering me, woman. We have important work to do. To the basement, David.
What? Wow.
What are we going to do? It's like playing chess with a computer. You just can't win.
Actually, last time I checked, the Grandmasters could still beat computers. It's because of how complex the game is. There are something like 69 trillion possible combinations of pieces on the board.
Great. I'll keep that in mind next time I'm playing Chessmaster. But for real, what are we going to do?
Well, I think we have to go back further.
Great. Well, I'll grab a pillow and a pillow cover that doesn't breathe well.
Jim, no. I was thinking we could go back to our first conversation at Einstein Bros. If we can convince ourselves not to do the theological after shows and to not cover theology in general, that should keep you from ever mispronouncing perspicuity. And it should make our interactions a lot less volatile.
All right. Well, that works for me. I love Einstein Bros. And I haven't been able to go there since they closed all their locations in Spokane.
Yeah, I don't go there often enough either. I mean, we live near one. I just never get around to it. But I love their farmhouse bagel.
All right, it's settled. Do you know when we had that meeting?
Hold on, let me check my calendar. Search. Okay, it looks like it was 11 a.m. on January 5th, 2018.
Man, we really took a long time to get that show off the ground.
Well, we recorded a lot of really bad first episodes that never saw the light of day, if you'll recall.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I've got the temporal coordinates plugged in.
Great. Let's go.
All right. We're here. Let's head on to Einstein Bros. Getting pretty hungry.
And, you know, we have to save the future from Bill's evil plan.
Yes, and that. Let's go! Oh, hey, Christy.
Jim, what are you doing at home? I thought you were meeting with David about that weird podcast thing.
Well, yeah, I am. He's here. He's here, too. We just had to stop and grab my wallet because I forgot it.
In the basement?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're in a hurry because I got to get back to work. Good to see you.
Okay, good to see you too.
All right, well, I guess we should have figured out how we're going to handle this.
Handle what? We'll just go in there, order our food, and then tell ourselves not to do the dumb theology show.
Jim, that's insane. Everyone will be so confused why there are two of us. And we will. I mean, past us. Actually, honestly, present us aren't super clear on it either.
David, when you're in the past, you have to talk like someone in the past. Past us isn't here right now. There's present us. And there's future us. You and I, we're future us. But since we traveled to the past, the thing we used to call the past is now the present. Get with the times, Caballero.
Right. Yeah, I got a real problem with that. Anyway, can't you see how problematic your plan is?
I suppose you have a better suggestion.
Well, not really, but we can't do your thing.
Well, fine. We just won't do anything at all.
We can't do that either.
Why? You know, I've been having second thoughts about this whole going back in time and changing stuff thing ever since Bill stopped us. and April 27th, 2018. What if this wasn't meant to be? What if he's just outsmarted us? What if we change the past and the future just ends up worse? I don't like the future that past me made for me, but I don't know. There's something soothing about being able to say that the past me made those decisions. If I screw things up worse, I'll only have present me to blame. I don't know if I can do that.
Jim, we both know we can't leave things the way they are. Your family's been kidnapped. So is Sarah. They're trying to kill us. We have a sixth commandment obligation to alter the past and prevent our deaths and the harming of our families.
What if this is part of Bill's plan, too? He knew exactly when we would try to go back in time and fix things last time. What if he's planned this, too? What if he wants us to talk with our past selves and make everything worse?
I don't know. That's a really good point. Bill has been pretty manipulative.
Exactly. This is like the last season of Lost, where Locke is trying to get everyone to kill each other. He literally made edits to our show to make us sound dumb. He snuck into our rooms and played records of stupid phrases and pronunciations of words. He could easily have, aha, so that's how I do it.
What?
Is that a go-gurt?
Indeed it is. It is the best form of yogurt for when you're hiding in the bushes, trying to plan the demise of your enemies.
He's right. It also keeps you regular.
Ah, indeed. Ah. Although a healthy amount of fiber in your diet is also important. Go-gurt covers a multitude of errors, but even it cannot make up for the lack of fiber in your diet.
Would you two just shut up about your bowel movements? Did what I think just happened actually just happen? Say it isn't so.
If you think that I traveled back in time to destroy you, carrying only half a plan and a modest quantity of go-gurts, and that I came here to this parking lot to spy on your present selves, but then that your future selves came and told me everything I needed to know in order to carry out a fiendish plan, well, then you would be correct. You've unwittingly given me everything I need to destroy you.
What? How is that even possible? If you didn't have the plan, then you couldn't have carried it out. And if you couldn't have carried it out, then we couldn't have been affected by it, which means we wouldn't have a reason to go back in time to correct the thing that you never did because you never had a plan to do it. What you're describing is a paradox.
David, I'm beginning to think you don't understand time travel at all. We clearly didn't go back in time to stop Bill, even though that's what we thought we were doing. We clearly were actually going back to cause all this, unwittingly, I admit. But can't you see? This isn't a paradox. It's simply a case of misplaced causality.
Misplaced what? Why are you talking like me? What is even happening?
I am afraid Jim is correct here, David. And I have to say, although you've both mistreated me horribly, I was rooting that you would figure this out before he did. His transgressions against me being more in number and severity than yours.
Okay, look, none of this matters, because if we can get in there and convince ourselves not to do the stupid theology segments, none of your plan will work.
I'm sorry, David. We can't even do that.
Look, Jim, I know I told you your plan was stupid, but at this point, it's all we've got. I know it'll work, because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't.
No, I mean, we really can't. We've been standing here arguing so long, our present selves just left. There's nothing we can do.
There's only one thing we can do. We can head back to our way back machine and try again at another point in the timeline.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we can do that. It doesn't look like Bill's going to chase us anytime soon.
I'm all right. It just went down the wrong pipe. Hold on. I'll be with you, you gentlemen, shortly.
Let's go.
So when are you going to go? He's going to be watching the timeline like a hawk from here on out.
Jim, we have to go back further, much further than Bill will ever think to go. And to be honest, you might not like it.
So we're not going to smother him as a child?
For the last time, no, we're not doing that.